Week 3 of the NFL season came to an end yesterday. Falcons tanking to the Saints. 45-32 ends up being the final score as the Saints drop to 0-3 to start the season. Welcome back to the Big Show. Pat Steinberg along with you. Time to welcome in from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com our NFL insider, Jason Lacanfora. Mr. Lacanfora, happy Tuesday. How are you?
I'm doing all right. How's everything up there in Calgary?
We are doing wonderful up here. It's hockey season. Everybody's focused on that, and the NFL is going on as well. So it's busy up here, man. What did you what'd you make of the Falcons last night? 45 points for Atlanta.
Yeah, you know, there was a lot going on last year, especially after their whatever it was 5-0 or 6-0 start between their offensive coordinator Kyle Shanahan and their quarterback Matt Ryan, and it wasn't particularly good. There was a lot of sort of dissension about how to run that offense and how much to ask him to bootleg. And, you know, he's not the most mobile a guy throwing on the run in some design situations. He was not very good in his red zone or the other team's red zone last year. There was a lot of questions. They certainly seemed to be simpatico yesterday, last night. I'll say that much. Didn't seem to be any issues there. Now, at least part of this, guys, is who they're facing. You know, the Saints, boy, oh, boy, not a good scene there. That defense has been disastrous for years, and it looks like they're every bit intent on being as bad as some of those Saints defenses of the past, maybe even worse. So I don't want to go crazy, you know what I mean, on like, yeah, look out for the Falcons, because the Saints have significant issues. I'm stunned that the Giants didn't expose them more in week two, but certainly the Raiders got them in week one, and Atlanta completely annihilated them last night, and that offense isn't nearly good enough to win the way they used to. You can't just think, well, we play a lot of games in our dome and somebody else's dome, and the weather's always going to be pretty good, and, you know, we'll just score 40 and they'll score 35 and we'll get a couple turnovers and we'll be okay, because that's not this offense anymore. And they haven't replaced Jimmy Graham. Fleener drops a lot of balls. Fleener's not what Jimmy Graham was in that offense. The offensive line's beat up. And the outside receivers, you know, Cooks is a speed guy, but they don't have anybody who you're really fearing as a matchup problem at all. You know, I think Mike Thomas will be a nice guy, you know, a nice possession receiver for them, but they're not as dynamic and explosive as they were. They got problems. They've got big problems. They are not going to win many football games. And, they locked into Drew Brees for one more year, but they're so far away that at a certain point, if you're going to be this bad, you know what I mean? Does it make more sense for you to be this bad developing a quarterback for the next 10 years rather than culling the final, you know, big throws out of a guy who is going to be well retired by the time you ever turn it around, if you turn it around?
So, if you take a look at this NFC South right now, because I'm completely with you on the Saints, so we kind of look at them as a non-factor. That leaves 1-2 Carolina, 1-2 Tampa Bay, and now you got this Falcons team that put up 45 last night. How do you read the NFC South? We're only 3 weeks in, so are the Panthers still the team to beat here? Has there been something that's happened that maybe has changed your mind a little bit? How do you look at the South?
No, I think it's still Carolina's to lose, and I think the team that will really look back on some of these early season stumbles, particularly the one they blew at home to L.A. last weekend, is the Bucs, because I thought that could be a playoff team. I thought that's a team who, if they beat the teams they should beat at home, could be there in the end. But they've had back-to-back weeks now where, after really kind of strutting their stuff over Atlanta, they got blown off the field by the Cardinals. And, I mean, The Rams almost put up 40 points on me. The Rams came into that game without an offensive touchdown, and the Bucs secondary couldn't get a stop. So I think that, you know, Atlanta is doing enough early to hang in there, but Carolina is going to win 9 or 10 games at least. I mean, they're banged up. I don't like their offensive line. I don't like Cam getting hit as much as he's being hit. I don't like a lot of what I've seen about out of that defense and the lack of a pass rush beyond sort of Coney Ealy, but that's not a good division. You know, that they've got a subsidy there. There's some teams around them that just won't be able to get out of their way when it really counts. And it's kind of like New England in the AFC East. You know, you're always waiting to see, well, who are these other teams? And could it be this team? And could it be that team? And mostly it's just nobody. And I think the Jets are very much like the Bucs. You know, they should be 3-0, at least 2-1. Instead, they're 1-2, and they've got Pittsburgh, Seattle, and Arizona coming up. If the Jets don't turn it around quickly, New England's going to have that division won by, like, Halloween. You know? I mean, yep. That's just the reality. If New England spanks the Bills this weekend, they're going to have, like, a 3-game lead on everybody, and Tom Brady hasn't thrown a pass yet.
Yeah. It's pretty incredible that they sit 3-0 and have got the chance of going 4-0. Jason Lackenfor is with us, our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. Tuesdays and Fridays here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. So that's what happened last night. Falcons beat the Saints 45-32, and the Falcons right now on top of the NFC South. Switching gears a little bit on you, and what I think has been one of the pleasant surprises of the season, the Philadelphia Eagles, and talk about blowing a team out. They did just that to Pittsburgh at home on Sunday. Carson Wentz and the Eagles 3-0. So let me ask you this about the Eagles. Not a lot was expected of them coming into the season. Now Wentz has been one of the early season stories. They're unbeaten. Has your opinion on them changed, or is this just early season success that we see sometimes?
My opinion on them is starting to change. I was very high on their ability to be a much improved defense. I didn't think they'd be this airtight, but I thought they'd be improved. I thought Jim Schwartz, their defensive coordinator, would have such a great year that he sets himself up to be a head coach again, and that's looking to trend that way. I just didn't see this offense being this opportunistic. I looked at Darren Sproles and said, he can't be a feature back anymore. You know, he's getting up there. And Ryan Matthews is never healthy. You know, the tight ends, and the wide receivers can't catch. I mean, Aguilar, Matthews, they drop more than they hold on to. And then you couple that with a rookie quarterback who no one thought would be this good this soon. But even if you thought he came out of the gate firing and looking like a potential winning quarterback, given the lack of weapons around him, I thought it would be a little bit more of a struggle. And it will be a struggle at some point. And he's going to have bad games. He's going to have bad stretches. He's going to turn the ball over. And at some point, he will be exposed some, and he will look like a rookie. But it may not happen until they put like 5-1 or 6-1. And in that division, where I don't think anybody else is going to run away with it, they've gone from looking like a team in a rebuilding year where maybe they win 6 or 7 games and you hope the kid quarterback peaks towards the end and they really set themselves up for 2017, to now looking like, well, why can't they be the Redskins of last year? You know, where not much was thought of them. The quarterback achieves way more than you thought he could. The defense is better than expected, right? And they win a division. Why not?
Yeah, they've looked good so far, and you're right. Defensively, they have been airtight, and I did not see them having that much success against that Steelers offense on Sunday. That was something else, and Carson Wentz has turned into a really nice story too. What are we hearing? What are we hearing staying in the NFC? What are we hearing on Seattle and Russell Wilson? It sounds like good news for his status on Sunday.
Yeah, he wants to play. He's telling people he thinks he can play, that this injury is not as significant as the high ankle sprain he suffered 2 weeks ago, and he played on that high ankle sprain 6 days later when I don't know too many other people would have. So they got that thing treated pretty quickly during the game, you know, in real time on Sunday. They had the brace. They had him already in a brace, you know, Sunday afternoon. He'll be limited in practice, I'm sure. And look, if it's the going is rough out there against the Jets, and that Jets D-line can be pretty fearsome, and that Seattle offensive line is no great shake. So with a bye looming the following week, if it gets ugly out there, you know, they feel much more comfortable playing Boykin now, having seen him, you know, be very competent, albeit, look, with a huge lead and against a crappy 49ers team. But still, he got NFL action. He looked, you know, enough of the part that they feel a little bit comfortable. So they'll take precautions with Russell, but barring a setback, guys, I do expect him to start that game.
Jason, what's happening with Greg Hardy? And I know that he's in trouble with the law once again. So there's that part of it. And then there's is this for sure the end of his NFL career? Does he have a shot of returning at some point now that he's been charged with possession?
Let's see how this plays out. The culture has changed so much to a point where I'm never going to say never on domestic violence and to the extent of what was alleged against him. I'm never going to say never. But as he gets a year older and as he continues to associate with people who his employers, if he had them, would prefer he doesn't associate with. And as long as he's sort of living in this dreamland, this la-la land, where, you know, he that despicable interview he did with ESPN actually hurt him way more than I think he and his agent Drew Rosenhaus would ever know. I mean, the way that was received around the league, sort of the lack of remorse, not being contrite, everything's being so faux and so staged. You know, owners at some point are sitting down to eat dinner with their wives, you know, and he would have been much better served keeping his mouth shut, maintaining a low profile, working his butt off in the gym, doing some community service, and he probably would have had a shot because he was 27, 28, and, you know, he's a pass rusher and he's had some success. But that interview and then sort of some rumblings about bad behavior and then now this arrest, he's dug himself a massive, massive hole. I mean, this is a guy who was on the precipice, you know, when he was on that franchise tag in Carolina, of signing a deal that probably, you know, would have netted him $50 million guaranteed. Now, after subsequent behavior, he may have had to give back some of the signing bonus, but he's basically now a pariah, and yeah, this may be the death knell. But there are also desperate people in this league, and I don't know. Nothing's gonna happen. He's not gonna play this year. You know, in the next 9 months, does he completely rehabilitate himself? And somebody's desperate for a pass rusher next September, and he actually is in the community doing work, and he has changed his mindset, and he's doing the things that Ray Rice is actually doing now. Then, because he's young enough, and because he's a pass rusher, maybe. But it gets more bleak by the action.
He is Jason Lacanfora. He's our NFL insider from CBS Sports and CBSSports.com. One more for you. That's a look ahead to Thursday, 2 days away from Week 4 kicking off. Dolphins and Bengals. How do you see this one on Thursday night?
Well, this is something of a must-win to me for the Bengals now. I mean, they're home again, 2 games in 5 days. They have not been good, really, on either side of the ball. And frankly, they could be 0-3 very easy. They were manhandled by the Jets week one, and they won because of a missed field goal and a missed extra point and some Ryan Fitzpatrick stupidity in the red zone and one big pass to A.J. Green. But they don't have an identity on offense right now. They don't run the ball particularly well, and that one bomb over Revis's head to A.J. Green is the only touchdown that Andy Dalton's thrown to a wide receiver all year. The loss of Sanu and Jones has been significant. The loss of tight end Tyler Eifert, who may come back Thursday, probably more likely he comes back the following game, has been massive. The problem is he's missed a lot of time with a significant injury, and I don't think he comes right in and picks up right where he left off last year. And they get Vontaze Burfict back from suspension, but, you know, they're having issues covering people in the secondary. They look a little long in the tooth back there. They've lost a lot of players and a lot of coaches in a short period of time, and that tends to catch up with you. So I don't think they blow Miami out. I think Miami's defense may play better, you know, much more like it did the first 2 weeks than it did last week in Cleveland. But if Cincinnati does not win this game, they're not going to the playoffs. I don't think they're good enough in a tough division to come back from 1-3 and have the kind of success that they've had the last few years. So we're going to find out about them. Andy Dalton in prime time has not always been a thing of beauty. And I just wonder if they're a little tight. They know they can't afford to lose this game. We'll see whether that brings out the best in them or not.
Jason, you're the best. As always, appreciate it, man. We will talk to you again on Friday. Thanks for doing this.
Oh, my pleasure as always, guys. Talk to you soon.